time, our children, kindergarten through fifth grade, are dismissed. I know you'll have lots of fun with Miss Katie and Mr. Peter. Thank you all for serving the kids today. And as they're making their way down, just a couple announcements to draw your attention to. So there's various activities for Advent coming up. One of them, I wanted to let you know, if you're wanting a poinsettia order, today's the day to get them in. So if you didn't turn it in the offering, just make sure you put it in the back, that little back table, if you want an off poinsettia for the rest of the holiday season. On the 18th, which is Wednesday, like 10 days from now, give or take, what we're doing is the Wednesday gathering, where if you want to come and have like soup, salad, and bring your favorite cookies, and we're going to plate them all, and we're going to package them. And then on the 21st, is that right? Saturday the 21st? It's in there as the 22nd, right? Golly, I don't know if I probably did that. Anyhow, so it's Saturday the 21st. There at noon, we're going to go down to Eagle River Presbyterian. They have where the Eagle River Food Pantry is. And if you want to deliver and serve that community that gets food that day, you're invited to do so. So you can either bring cookies that night, you can just drop them off, whatever, or you can join us on Saturday to deliver and bring cookies and coffee and just get to know that community, because that's a potential outreach that we're going to try to do regularly down with the food pantry. So that's that. And then the last thing I would say is on Saturday and Sunday night of that same week, the 21st, 22nd, is a community revival, and that is put together by the Chugiak Eagle River Ministerial. And the goal with that service is to help churches in our area worship together. There's a lot of needs in our community, and through various conversations, we've just discerned the body of Christ does better when it worships together. And there's a lot of need, and if we project a lot of division and tribalism, how does that reflect the kingdom of God? And so one of the things we wanted to do is create opportunities of worship together. And while we recognize the various preferences of tradition and worship styles, could there be occasional opportunities to worship and gather? And so on the 21st, it's a Saturday night, it'll be at Eagle River Baptist, Missionary Baptist, right next on the other side of the highway. On the 22nd, down in Anchorage at Anchorage City Church, they're hosting a service. So two opportunities if you'd like. And it's just, we're hoping it's a catalyst for some other opportunities for the churches in our community to serve the community better. So it's a little bit out of our norm, but I hope that that's something you might find time to do in the midst of all the wonderful things that Advent and Christmas brings. So that's my public service announcement, though I'm getting a hand in the back. Yes, ma'am. I knew there was something I forgot, yeah. So we also do a Christmas party for the TLC ministry at the Highland. If you'd like to give in that direction, you can talk to Gretchen, who raised her hand. She'll raise her hand again. Or if you want to just give money towards it, we give Christmas bags and do a Christmas party for the inmates there every year. So if that's something you'd like to participate in, let me, Gretchen, know. All right? Think that's it. And again, all that's in your bulletin. So I want to transition into our service. And you, Ben, thank you for reading the passage in Isaiah. The theme of the second Sunday of Advent is peace. And we're going to do something a little different. I'm introducing it, and then I'm going to hand off the rest of the service to JP, who's going to bring our message this morning. But I just want to highlight a couple things about Advent and the theme of peace. And what I love about that passage is how it creates this picture of other, of a realm where the peace of God dwells. And it's tied to the hope that we talked about last week, but it's languaged in a very specific way, and it's not something that we bring, but is brought into our existence. It's recognizing that things aren't as they should be. It's that there is a need of setting things right. There ought to be restoration. In the midst of chaos and turmoil, where is shalom? And in the words of Isaiah, it said, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon the one that comes from the shoot of the stump of Jesse, that will have a spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Oh, that we would see that modeled in so many avenues and areas in our world. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could begin, not just in just small places, but as a massive expanse, wisdom, understanding, counsel, fear of the Lord. But Isaiah is pointing to a place that this is something that comes from divine intervention, that God steps into and brings forth in us and through us. But he's the catalyst of it. He recognizes as he speaks further that one of the places that we experience the most amount of brokenness and not peace is in our relationships. Our relationships with God. Our relationships with one another. Even in the way we relate to this created world which we live, there's a lot of brokenness. And I love the pictures that Isaiah paints when he says something like, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard will not take its prey into the tree, but rather lie down next to the young goat. The cow and the bear will graze. The young shall lie down together. Their young shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. It's almost a caricature that we just picture, oh, a lion will all of a sudden eat hay. But can you imagine the systemic change that would be necessary for that lion to begin eating hay? That means it's not a predator. It's not hunting something that is its source of food. It is eating something completely different. That is a holistic change. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra. The weaned child shall put his hand in the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy and all of the holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. A future possibility. But he's not saying it's such a future possibility that it can't be a present reality. And that's kind of the tension that we live in. We live in something that we hope to one day experience, but what do we do in the meantime? And that's what Advent does. Advent invites us to acknowledge those places where it's not as it should be, but there's still hope, and there's still an opportunity to bring about the peace of God. And so I just want to introduce that piece, and then I will gladly hand over the rest of our time together to Mr. JP. So thank you, JP, for coming and sharing today.
If I can get this to work and not get tangled up in it. Well, this will be somewhat of a, it's kind of odd that this kind of flowed together as God always manages to do. The projector didn't work, so the songs that were selected this morning kind of flow. Me and Brian talked a little bit, and what he just talked about is kind of what I'm going to talk about. I hope that this is for all of us. I know it's going to be a healing moment for me. I'm going to share some of my life experiences to where I'm at today. It's going to be some testimony. And I'll mix in some Bible verses that I've related to here recently. Kind of let you know where I'm at, and I think where we are at. We'll just I'm 54. I want to start from the beginning, so I'll try to accumulate 54 years all in about, I don't know, an hour and 45 minutes here. I've got 10 pages, 8 font, single spaced. No, just kidding. I got to make light of it because I'm quite nervous if you don't know that. So, but May God give me peace and comfort here while I talk. We'll start from the beginning, and I mean from the beginning. I was introduced into this world in 1965. Mom gave birth to me June 3rd. Why is that significant? In 64, she was attempting to not have any more children. She had have two older sisters, and she was attempting to not have any more because the doctors told her it was be grave to her health if she had any more children. And we'll just say that in 1964, let's say that contraception didn't work real well. So I was conceived in 64, born in 65, with some health scares and trials. And from what I understand, my mom almost passed away while she was carrying me. God had other plans. She's going to be a huge influence into my life, so we both made it through. And I was, and I'm here to testify that that was something special. Let's jump ahead to 73. My mom, every day, I don't know if it was three times a week, I'm good Southern Baptist. You can tell by the seat I select. That's my seat. Nobody take it. Anyway, I was raised Southern Baptist, and my mom had me at church every opportunity. Sunday school, vacation Bible schools. And then during a vacation Bible school in 1973, I came to know the Lord. That year also, we lost my grandpa. He lived just right up the hill from us, about, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile. I spent as much, I shared this one time. Everybody calls me JP here. My family calls me John, and a very few select people call me Johnny. My grandpa's name was John E. Williamson, so he called me Johnny. I was Johnny. Well, my Williamson side of my family picked that up, and so I was called Johnny. I spent as much time as I possibly could there. I can remember numerous times he'd have to pick me up and carry me back home because Mom didn't know where I was. But anyway, we lost him to kidney failure that year, and that was my first true experience of loss. And I can say that during that vacation Bible school that year is the reason why I wanted what I thought he had. I don't know, but I think he was a God-fearing man, and I believe one day I'll visit him again. So all's good in my little 8-year-old mind. I think everything's good, but during this process of me putting this together, I came across this verse, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So let's jump forward to 1979. There's some things happened that year that greatly influenced my life. Two, I didn't know was going to influence my life later, but my wonderful wife graduated that year from a school about 35 miles from where I lived, and Ford introduced the Fox Body Mustang. They transitioned from the Mustang 2 to the Fox Body Mustang. That'll be relevant here shortly. My dad, y'all have heard me share my testimony. You heard me share back here the other day. This will be a little bit rough, but I'll get through it. My dad was diagnosed or came to realize that he had something wrong. Ultimately, he was diagnosed with cancer. So in 79 and 80, he went through treatments. He had surgery to remove the tumor. And this, at 14 and 15, this mountain of a man, I saw suffer through this. And then in 81, he passed away. In January of 81, he passed. You heard me say that whenever Brian asked about prayer, what do I think of? And at the time, I was angry. I was confused. I didn't know why. I was mad. I was young in my faith, and I thought, you pray, you ask, you receive, right? You know, God loves us all. I just didn't understand. So I finally just kind of came to accept it. I went about my life. I friends, just kind of went through the motions. Mom made sure that I still went to church. I knew God loved me, but you ask the questions why and what if. So, after some time, I kind of straightened out a little bit. Maybe, maybe not. I guess it'd be who you ask. I started dating this girl. Not my wonderful wife, but someone else. I started dating this girl, and I thought that I had got everything straight. I'm got a girlfriend. I'm going to graduate. I've got a plan. We're going to go to college. I was going to be first. She hadn't graduated, but there was this grand plan that I had. Started school at Washtenaw Baptist University, and after a year, I realized from a very modest income from my family and not having a scholarship from a school that was K through 12, 252 students total, there wasn't a lot of sports recruiters there, nor was there a lot of AP courses that would advance me in my dream of going to school. Like I said, I had this grand plan. I was going to be a basketball coach. I loved basketball. That didn't work out, so God bless my mom and my sister for trying. So after 1 year, it was kind of evident that that dream wasn't going to happen. So we go to reset. In 85, after almost 4 years, I find myself single, somewhat of a one-sided conversation that I wasn't real happy about. But anyway, I'm single now, and I am trying to figure out what's going on. I am running around with friends and getting into small-town trouble. I was the kid that you didn't have your parents, you wouldn't let your kids ride with me. I was somewhat of a little bit of a hellion behind the wheel. I've told a few stories. I've told this story before. I'm going to tell it in a little bit of a more realistic light here. My sister had a 1979 Mustang, Fox body, any pace car model, and it was turbocharged, and it was fast. And I borrowed it one night, and I really didn't care. Picked up a friend, and we're heading east out of town, and I'm telling you, I didn't care. I told it before, like, hey, I'm 20, look at how cool I am and what I did. But let's get real here. I'm heading out of town on this little highway. You can imagine like Seward Highway. It's two lanes. Shoulders almost big enough you can pull off on. I grab fifth gear, and I'm passing 115 miles an hour. And I topped a hill, and there's a semi passing a semi. And I don't know how it happened. Well, I know how it happened. God thumped me in the back of the head, and he let my arm twitch, and I hit that shoulder and went around that truck that was, smoke was boiling off those tires. I don't know what he experienced, but I can tell you God put me around those two semi-trucks on a shoulder that wasn't any wider than that car, and got me back on the road and back on the right path. And I realized that that buddy, Kelly Joe, sitting next to me, not only was I threatening my life, but I was not caring again about others, being quite selfish. So with that thought in mind, I am looking back here. I brought up Joshua 1:3. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You heard of God as your co-pilot. Well, he was sitting in the back seat, and he reached up there, and he turned that wheel, and we went around that truck. And I'm here to tell you, it changed my life. It wasn't cool. It was stupid. But in reality, God helped me through that discouraged time that I had. Well, about this time, hanging around with friends, there was one of my friends worked at Walmart. And hanging out there at Walmart, we ran into this girl. And we started hanging around with her, or maybe more like she let us hang around with her. And then later that summer, me and Kathy started dating. I found out that she was having her own trials there. Her mother had been diagnosed with cancer. And I barely got to meet Charlotte maybe a couple of times before she passed. So that brought me and Kathy closer together. With no real career path, no idea of how I'm going to support a family if I so had one, in this little town, Arkansas, I went and talked to a recruiter and signed up to join the Air Force in November of 85. Note to all of you people out there, Relationship 101, talk to your significant other before you make life-changing decisions. So I talked to Kathy. She was none too happy, so I clumsily proposed. She accepted, and we got married March 9th of 1986. We enjoyed our newlywed life for a few years, and then I can remember my mom telling us that if I get one more picture of an animal, I'm going to burn it. So she wanted grandkids. So Psalms 127:3, behold, children are the heritage from the Lord and the fruit of the womb, a reward. And I can say that is very true. Jonathan was born in 89, and I had reached a point in my military career. I have now joined the military, went to basic training, and then Kathy has joined me down in Mississippi. We got stationed in Alabama, but I reached a career point. Sign up for four. The Air Force has this way of doing it. They kind of either accidentally or purposely. After you sign up for 4 years, at 3 years, they ask you, are you going to re-enlist? So with a short discussion, me and Kathy seemed to always be able just to kind of have a short discussion, and we come up to a decision. I re-enlisted for 6 more years. Taylor was born in 91, and we moved to Alaska. Got here in September of 91. Now, in your military career, I was talking about there's two dates that you got to worry about. Well, there's three, but I never got to that point. But I was my enlistment date and your end of assignment date. My enlistment date and on the first day you sign up, they're the same. You sign up for 4 years, your assignment is here. They line up, right? Well, my assignment date stayed. Well, they re-enlisted me here. So now they're starting to separate. I'm in Alaska. We have some other life-changing events that happened. Kathy's sister was killed in a motorcycle accident. And I can say that that family, Lee and Linda, was our tie to the lower 48. I have family there, but in all honesty, our goal was 4 years Alaska, and we're going back down to lower 48. Well, that all changed, that early morning phone call and subsequent trips to the lower 48 and helping Lee heal. We came to another crossroads here. We're approaching my four-year assignment end, and I got to make another decision. Epcot, in place, consecutive overseas tour, or try to go overseas further, or go back to the lower 48. Well, I applied for the Epcot, and it was granted, pending I had to re-enlist because I didn't have enough on my enlistment to accept the Epcot that would carry me to that end. Now, a little point here is in your military career, you can extend enlistments up to 46 months. If you're going to go any further than that, they just assume you re-enlist for another 48. And again, I can tell you why now looking back. But for some reason, God told me to ask, how about extension? Well, I extended my enlistment for 46 months, and I lined those 2 days back up. September 9 of 99. For no reason other than that little tap on the shoulder. Isaiah 30, 21, wherever you turn right or you turn left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Well, I heard God say, ask about extensions, and I got extended for 46 months. I got a lot of eyebrows, why are you doing this? Why, this doesn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to me at the time, but for some reason God told me, take control of this situation, and I did. So now my two dates are lined up. In 97, Kathy's lost her dad. I was unwillingly selected for a White House communication slot in Washington on the East Coast. I didn't want to go. I was happy where I was at, but I was in the Electronic Security Command. I had a top secret clearance, SCI, compartmented information. I was kind of a shoo-in. I was a career airman. As a staff sergeant, they had me. I was voluntold I was going to the East Coast, and the divorce rate, you know it's bad whenever they actually have stats for this one assignment. The divorce rate was in the 40-some percentile. I would be traveling 200-plus days a year doing VIP support and communications, and I didn't want to go. I talked to their first sergeant. I talked to my first sergeant. I talked to their deputy commander. I talked to my commander. I wrote letters. Went on a long TDY to Saudi during this time frame where we're trying to figure this out. But me and Kathy had decided we wanted to go to Europe somewhere. I didn't want to go to the East Coast. Well, here's where that little date change helped. If I hadn't have changed that and I would have done the stereotypical six-year enlistment or even a four-year enlistment, they would have had me for 6 months. I would have had to left the state of Alaska. Well, now my dates are lined up. There's nothing they can do. I have all the control. I said 13 and a half years into a 20-year career, I said, I'm getting out. Family's more important. I know it's God, country, but it's God, family, country. My family is more important to me, so I separated from the military at 13 and a half years to stay in Alaska, signed the paperwork, turned it in, and I had zero prospects other than my faith that something was going to happen. So in July of 1999, with no real prospects and not knowing what we're going to do, I entered what's called terminal leave. It sounds bad, but ultimately it ends up being good. I'm on terminal leave, again, with no prospects. And I start talking to my friends that have already separated from the military. They've already retired. And I ended up finding a job. So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. I found a job at the company that maintains radar sites around the state. I've been there for 20 years now. In 2000, we bought a house. Both kids graduated from Chugiak. Kathy's job was going good. I was moving up in the company. I was a QC auditor, a health, fire, safety. I went to a lead position, ultimately project support manager and then operations manager. Apparently you complain enough and they'll promote you to fix it. So anyway, we had our issues. Our youngest, Taylor, was somewhat rebellious. She took different paths than what we really wanted as parents. But sometimes she was willing to listen, and we were always there. Then in 2011, we got Dorian. He came into our lives, loved greatly, out of wedlock, but loved greatly. We got little Dorian. And then in 2014, we got Rylan. Again, different relationship. Different set of situations, we got Rylan. At the time, we did what we thought we were right, but there's no real owner's manual on kids or how you're supposed to react to situations. I won't go real in depth, but some of you understand. We've shared with a lot of you what we dealt with. So while this was going on, her decisions to do things differently, and as it got worse and worse, I'm traveling quite frequently. You guys, a lot of you realize it. I had to travel to these radar sites quite frequently. At one point there was 18, now they're down to 15, but at 15, and I'm going for a week, 2 weeks at a time to every one, so I'm gone frequently. I talked about complaining, God will promote you. Well, actually, I'd say God provided me opportunities because I didn't need to be gone so much. I needed to be around more because while I was gone was whenever my wife had to put up, Kathy had to put up with an awful lot while I was gone. And it was just straining everybody to the point. So God gave me the opportunity to take on a management position, and now I don't have to travel, so now I'm here. So in 2017, we're somewhat reluctant participants in a marriage, but we had already came to the point that it was either participate and be part of the life or you will be left out of it. So we're reluctant participants. But we were thinking that maybe this would give her some hope, some stability. It seemed like it had a possibility of a somewhat stable relationship. The husband was in the army. It seemed like it was going to go okay, or so we thought. But were we so sorely wrong? Maybe we were enabling her or whatever, but we were always there to catch her when she fell. We was always there to bring her home, to try to help her get through stuff. On Saturday, July 28th, I got a call that she needed to come home. There was an argument. A glass pan broke. And the police came, and he had been arrested. So she wanted to come home. I told her that that was fine, that he wasn't welcome in my house anymore, that we got this, we're going to be okay. On Sunday, we text a little bit. And I told her on Monday I will be there. She was going to pack up, and on Monday I'll be there after work, and I'll pick her up. On Monday, I left work a little bit early because she hadn't responded to my text messages. And I can tell you this is the worst day of my life. I've shared testimony here where I provided CPR on an individual, and she passed away. I can tell you I sat with my stepdad and prayed to God that the suffering would end, and he was leaned against me whenever he passed away. But I climbed through that apartment window. And there was my beautiful baby girl face down on the bed, dead. And again, I ask, why and what if? I was on the phone with Kathy, and she called 911, and the police arrived. Conversations were had. Well, I share all this to tell you that that why and what if can bring you some answers if you're willing to listen to them. And I can tell you that whenever I ask why and what if on my dad, why did my dad die? He worked in a feed mill. He was a smoker. He was part of fallen man since Adam and Eve. And we suffered the afflictions that have been placed upon us. And cancer took my dad. God didn't take my dad away from me. Cancer took my dad away from me. And it took me a while to realize that. What if it hadn't happened? Well, I got 30-plus years of memories that wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have married Kathy. I wouldn't have had my two kids. I wouldn't be in the state of Alaska. I very likely would have joined the military. But I don't know that for sure. We'll never know. But that's the answer to the why and what if. Why did my daughter take her own life? She suffered from depression, anxiety. She turned to alcohol and drugs, both over the counter and not. When she finally reached out for help, everybody knows what's going on with, I think it's API, Guess who she called? That phone call went unanswered. So God didn't take my daughter from me. God gave me 27 years of memories. Two beautiful little boys. What if it hadn't? What if that call would have been answered, or what if she hadn't have done it? Well, I can tell you that there was probably still be some struggles and strife, and hopefully we could have worked through it and got some help. And I wouldn't have three dogs and three cats and two little boys that say grandma, grandpa 2,000 times a day. But I sit and rock that little boys in a chair that I got from the Morelands years ago, 8 years ago. And every night, Kathy sits on Dorian's bed and reads a story. And I rock Robin to sleep. I wouldn't have that. So, after all of this, you're thinking, my word, JP, where do you get peace out of this? I can tell you it's different. God's peace is different. There's peace without war or struggle. There's peace like quiet or steel. But this is different. Isaiah 43:1-3. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. They will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. So I want to try to get it on the board here. You're wondering why the board is here. Something that hopefully you guys can see this when I'm done and I spell everything right. God's presence helps you endure life-altering events. He cares and is everlasting. So if you and God enter life together, He is peace. So God is my peace. Do we have peace in our house? Seldom. Whenever you think of strife, struggles, I've got, like I said, three dogs and three cats. One's got allergies. Everybody knows here. Dorian is high-functioning autistic. He's got Asperger's or something. He is not a handful. He's a truckload. But I wouldn't have it any other way. He's the greatest little boy in the world. He's so bright. And then I got little Dorian that is so strong-willed. They both remind me of their mom every day. So with that, I want to leave you with this, as Paul wrote, Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, JP, for sharing. And I would invite our worship team to come forward. And if there's anything that you feel compelled to respond to God with, I would encourage you to take that time now. In your seats, altars here. John's going to lead us in a song that is a very appropriate response called Come As You Are. And thank you.